I've entitled my homily this morning, A Vigilant People. The word vigil means to stay awake, particularly at a time when we might be more inclined to sleep. So for us as Catholic Christians, when we think of vigil, we think primarily of the great Easter vigil that ushers in that wonderful season where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. At the end of today's first reading from the book of Exodus, we read these words, "That was for the Lord a night of vigil, to bring them out of the land of Egypt." So this is the first thing, that the vigil that we celebrate here in the book of Exodus is when God is awake. Think of it this way. For 430 years, the Jewish people had been in bondage in Egypt. And now it's as if God awakes and he brings about a deliverance, which he knew all along that he would accomplish. How do we know that? Well, back in the book of Genesis, when the Lord appears to Abram, he anticipates that the people will be in Egypt for over 400 years. But then there will come this great deliverance. So here, the first thing we see about this vigil is God's awakening. And he is now going to act. But then listen to what it says about the people of God. That same night is a vigil to be kept for the Lord by all the Israelites throughout their generations. Listen to the language. A vigil to be kept for the Lord. What does that mean for us to be a vigilant people? That we are to live in such a way that we are to keep awake in this world for the Lord. And of course, one of the ways in which we do that day by day is in the Eucharist. This is our vigil. This is the place where we are awake, we are alert. But as we understand what it is to be a people who are awakened and are attentive, there are three words that come to my mind from our readings today that I'd like to leave with you. To be a vigilant people, to be awake, is to be attentive to our location. To be attentive to our location. In the reading from Exodus, we're told that the people journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. Now, Ramses was the place where the Pharaoh lived. It's where he had his palatial residence. It's a place representing earthly power. But the people go from Ramses to Succoth. And the word Succoth means a booth or a dwelling place. It's a temporary dwelling because the people of Israel were to be a people that understood they were, so to speak, on the move. And because they knew their location, that they dwelt at Succoth for a time, they also realized, as it says in our reading, that they did not have provisions for themselves, but they had to trust in the Lord. And that's one of the things that we need to remember when it is to be this vigilant people, this people who are awake, who know our location. As we live in this world, we are a people of dependence, a people who trust in the Lord. To be vigilant is also to be attentive to the one who is leading us. And as we look again at this reading from Exodus, one of the things that is striking is how we're told that 600,000 men were on foot besides children, and it was a mixed crowd. In other words, they weren't just the people of Israel, they weren't just Jews. There were people from other nations, or maybe even some of the Egyptians were with them. But what we see here are these people, which in total probably numbered 2 million, are now being led by God. And as they discover more and more who they are as God's people, that they realize that they are a large company. One of the things that we can sometimes perhaps feel in our day, I'm the only Catholic around. I feel like such a minority. But when we see it in light of today's scripture, we realize that that's not true. We are part of a mixed company. Men and women who are saying, Lord, I want you to lead me in this world. I want you to be the one who is guiding me. So we are attentive to our location. We are, so to speak, at Succoth. We are attentive to the one who is leading us. And thereby, we are attentive to wanting to learn to love as Jesus loves. In today's gospel, we're told that the Pharisees are conspiring together to destroy Jesus. This is something we have to always be aware of. In this world, there will always be those who are conspiring to try to destroy Jesus and indeed to destroy his church. But how does Jesus respond? It's so interesting that Matthew chooses a quotation from Isaiah chapter 42. Now, let me tell you something about this part of Isaiah. This was written while the people were in exile in Babylon. That is, they were amongst a Gentile people who were their oppressors. And here, Isaiah speaks of the servant of the Lord in a particular way. Listen again to what he says. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. In other words, he, the servant, will proclaim justice to the Babylonians. To the ones who are the enemy, the servant will display love. And how will he do that? He will not wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. In other words, he won't draw attention to himself. And that's what we see with Jesus. He didn't draw attention to himself. What he wanted to do was draw attention to the love of God, which of course is manifested in himself, but he did that in a way that was secretive and quiet. And one of the things that I think that means for us as his people is that we continue to go about the business of loving in ways that might not be seen by the world, but ways that truly invite people, even those who might be our enemies, into a deepening relationship with the Lord. And then there are these words. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick until he brings justice to victory. Jesus is always at work amongst the vulnerable in order to bring about a healing and a restoration. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, as we continue to live our lives as Catholic Christians, we come to the Eucharist every day to receive the unleavened bread that is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as we keep vigil here, as we keep awake, we can be attentive to our location, attentive to the one who is leading us, so that we can be attentive to his love and grow in embodying his very being by how we live.